Today's scripture reading is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, and the title is Gird Up Your Loins. Gird Up Your Loins. I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the scheme of the devil. For our struggle is not against the flesh and the blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all time in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf the utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaim it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of God. In today's passage, the Apostle Paul gives a vivid description of how we must arm ourselves to win the spiritual battle against Satan, the devil, using the actual armor of soldier going to war. As a good soldier of Christ, we are to put on the full armor of God, and there are six things we are told to armor ourselves with. First, we are told to arm ourselves with the loin of truth, the breastplate of the righteousness, the guard of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And on top of that, we are told to do things that are not part of the armor, but we must be supplied with God's spiritual power through prayer in the Holy Spirit to be victorious. The first thing to be armed is to gird your loins. The shape of the cross at that time was like a dress of one piece, so you had to gird your loins so that the cross would stay on your body and you could move nimbly and quickly. If you are a soldier going to war, you have to gird your loins. The waist is where a person's strength comes from. When weightlifters lift a heavy weight, they tie their loin cross tightly because it holds their abdomen and the low back together, giving them more strength. And scripture in the Proverbs chapter 31, verse 17, talk to us, she girded herself with strength and makes her arm strong. Is another version is talk about the disperse. A girded waist is a sign of strength, and the two working arms are a sign of strength. The reason the belt of truth should be the first in the order of armament, especially for a soldier, is that a properly girded waist ensures that everything else you wear and put on will be in the proper place. Imagine if you didn't have a belt around your waist, because if your clothes were loose and your gear was wandering around, the content of each piece of armor would be in vain. Also, if you are going to carry a weapon, a sword, you must have a belt. The first time that we see a belt in the Bible is after the fall of Adam. Let's look at the Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covering. In the original language, the word of loin covering is a Hebrew that is a hagora, which means is a loin cloth, a skirt, meaning that when Adam saw that his lower body was naked, he quickly tied the fig leaves together and put a loin cloth around his waist. This is how the first loin cloth was created to cover the lower body. But why does God tell us to wear a loin of truth in our battle against the devil? The prophet Jeremiah described the relationship between the waist and the belt in this way. According to the Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11, I like to read, "For as the waistband clings to the waist of a man, so I made the whole household of Israel and the whole house of the Judah cling to me. In Jeremiah is a word that God wanted the people of Israel to be tightly bound and tied to him who became their belt and their waist. In fact, God and us were originally made in the image and the likeness of God and bound together by the very life of God. But then the first man, Adam, was deceived by the serpent's lie. The belt that bound God and man became separated. Now the reason for the fall and the reason for the separation is that knowing the serpent's identity, we must gird up our loins with the truth of God, with the truth of the God before we fall any further into deception, for the lie cannot overcome the truth, nor can it slip through the cracks. So the prophet Isaiah says in the Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5, also righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. If we are to never lose the battle against Satan again, there must be unwavering, steadfast faithfulness to God's word, which means we must stay awake to the saving gospel of Jesus, the word of truth. In other words, when we possess the Jesus and the word, which is the truth, we are always free from the sin, death, and lies that bind us. So Jesus said in the John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. It is the truth that reveals our identity as believers in Jesus Christ before the devil, for no matter what strength and power we may have, if we do not have the truth and the honesty that is true, we will always fall prey to Satan's deceptions. This spiritual significance of the girdle was used by the world as a symbol of one's wealth and status. In Jesus' days, the wealthy were sashes that were about 4.5 meters is long to show off their status. In general, the parade gird up your loins in a way of saying that you are ready for something or that you are prepared for something. I want to look with you today in the Bible at when a believer should gird up their loins. The first one is when God brought Israel out of Egypt, he told them to gird their loins and it rams. Let's look at the Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. I let it read. Now you shall eat it in this manner, with your loins girded, your sandal on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Haste, it is the Lord's Passover. Normally, when we eat dinner, we eat in comfortable clothes, the meaning that we eat without the belt around our waist. But when we eat the Passover lamb, God tells us to eat with the belt around our waist, shoes on our feet, and a staff in our hand. This is because of the urgency of the departure from simple Egypt. When you come out of the simple world, you must come to without looking back, without leaving behind any lingering desire. When Lot's wife was coming out of the simple city of Sodom, she hesitated. An angel took her hand and hurried her out, but her heart remained in the city of Sodom, and she looked back and became a pillar of salt because she had not girded her loins. By putting on the belt of truth and eating the Passover lamb, we put the robe of righteousness, the white robe, the garment of Jesus Christ, which is given by God, and thus cover the shame of Adam's nakedness in the fall. According to the Revelation chapter 3, verse 18, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garment, that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. In the last days, Satan will do whatever he can to strip those who have put on robe of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. We can find out in the Revelation chapter 16, verse 15, they are warning to us, Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garment, lest he walk about naked and the man see his shame. In times like this, when we are firmly wrapped in the belt of truth, we can protect the garment of Christ we are wearing and avoid showing any shame. That is why the Apostle Peter also says that in order to keep our white robe, the righteousness, we must be sober and alert, guarding ourselves with the truth. And second one is that secondly, when we repent before God, there is a guarding of the loins. Isaiah says in the Isaiah chapter 32, verse 11, Tremble, you women who are at ease, be troubled, you complacent daughters, strip unless and put sackcloth on your waist. Girding on the loin with the sackcloth was used to call Israel, the carefree woman, to repentance. The girding of the loins begins with Jacob, the lamentation over the loss of Joseph, and this deep sorrow. The father's failure to protect his child is seen as a sin and becomes an expression of repentance and sorrow. You can see that the Genesis chapter 37, verse 34, and so Jacob tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his loin. So afterwards, the girding the loins with the sackcloth became synonymous with the sorrow and the repentance of sin, for sin. In the Jeremiah chapter 48, verse 37, and the shape of the repentance, the sackcloth on the loins. And Amos girded his loins with the cords of sackcloth against the people full of unrighteousness. 40, a call to repentance directed at the offender. You can find out at the Amos chapter 8, verse 10. And the third one, the girding. The loins is the posture of missionary. The girding the loins is the posture of the missionary. The girding the loins is a walking posture. When you want to do God's work, the first thing you need to do is gird up your loins. When Elijah was empowered by God to do God's work, he is girded his loin. You can see that the 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 46. When God gave Jeremiah his commission to preach the word, he told him to gird up his loins first. You can see the Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 17. Now gird up your loins and arise and speak to them all which I command to you, right? And also John the Baptist, who came in the spirit of Elijah and was commissioned to bear witness to Jesus Christ, the word gird with the letter gird. In the scripture, the Mark, the Gospel of the Mark, the chapter 1, verse 6, and John was crossed with the camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist. We must now gird our loins, not just our physical loins, but our heart. Peter said in the 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, therefore, gird your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to be awake and attentive to God's voice. He who prays is the one who girds his loins. Be of good cheer. You must not allow your heart to be shaken by the cries of the world and the devil. You must be kind of a person who live only by saying amen to the Father's word. It is the life of the missionary to live with everything on the will of God, to entrust my all to God. I must begin by denying myself, that is a humility before God. In the 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, Peter said, close yourself with humility toward one another. The word of close yourself in Greek is enkobomai, which means to gird yourself up. In the same way that slaves of the day would gird themselves up with a white apron around the waistband of their clothing, a sort of smock for work. The disciples around the table at the last Passover meal were arguing about who was the greatest. When the Lord saw this, he got up from the table after he had finished eating, took off his outer garment, wrapped a towel around his waist, knelt down and washed his disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel he had wrapped around himself. You can find out the John chapter 13, verse 4 to 5. And he said to them, in the John chapter 13, verse 14 to 15, if I then, the Lord and the teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. So he was demonstrating the lessons of humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. God is telling us that if a man falls, let it be known that it is because of pride. In Job chapter 22, verse 29. The fall of the first man, Adam, was also due to his pride, which led him to disobey God's command and to want to be like God. God called Adam and asked him, Why did you eat of the fruit of the tree that you were told not to eat? And gave him a chance to repent, but he refused to admit his sin and reject God's favor out of pride. I can do God's work if I am humble, if I serve, if I consider others better than myself. The descendant of the fallen Adam will not follow anyone if they consider others better than themselves, which is why God and Moses and Jesus demonstrate the virtue of humility. Dear saints, there is no one here among the believers who has not received a mission from God. When a person realizes his mission and carries it out, he becomes worthy of his existence before God. There is no greater blessing than to fulfill the mission that God has given me in my life. Look at the Apostle Paul's confession in the Acts chapter 20, verse 24, I like to read, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God." Amen. He never loosened his waist even amid countless trials, remaining committed to the mission to the Lord gave him. Therefore, he boldly proclaimed that he had finished the race set before him, and he was assured that he was awaiting for the crown of righteousness from God. You can find out the 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. The secret to living in the worst of time to the best of our ability is to live with God around our waist. Everyone at the Lord's First Church is on a mission. If we truly believe that each of us is a missionary of God, then we cannot fall to God our loins. Our loins loose, we still have a ways to go, and until we get there, we must gird our loins with truth and love, peace, and humility. This is what it looks like to be a laborer for God. Amen.